The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our homes with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. The church is said to be born from the side of Christ on the cross. It is his bride, the bride of the mystical body. So it has become one flesh in union with him. And it was said to be founded with the coming of the Holy Spirit at the Pentecost. This church, the bride of Christ, the mother of us all, had its precursor in the people of God of Israel, as the church means in its etymology, the people of God, who still retain a close and tender relationship with the Lord under the covenant of Moses, the people of Israel. And now with the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, we can recognize what has been given to us is a way of salvation, a visible church to teach us the way toward salvation and holiness, helping to usher in the kingdom of God. And we could see the image of its culmination in the second reading in the book of Revelation. That image of the temple of God in heaven that comes down to earth with the new heavens and new earth, so that then there is no more temple of God, because all of creation here on earth is transformed to become a place of worship of the Lord. This is the culmination of the church. And we know in the time before this new heavens and new earth, there is a tripart division of the church. The church triumphant with the saints and God in heaven, enjoying the bliss and the civilization of love. The church on earth, called the church militant, continuing to enter into this spiritual battle for salvation, for some who are following the Lord and some who are turning away from the Lord. And the demons are trying them, and the spirit of the world which tries the saints here on earth. And then the church suffering, the souls in purgatory, being purified in the love of the Lord, to go to heaven. This church, as founded as Jesus Christ, as we proclaim in our creeds, has four marks or attributes. As it says in the Catechism and in our creed that we pronounce at the Sunday Masses, It is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And this is how you can recognize the Church of Jesus Christ. It is one because God and Jesus Christ is the head of the Church and has one and the same sacraments throughout the centuries and throughout the world. All seven sacraments, the baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, marriage, anointing of the sick, ordination, confession. It is holy because God himself is the head of the Church, who is himself holy. United with the unity that God is one, the holiness of the Church comes from the fact that God is apart from this world. That's what the meaning of the holy means. And we can especially see the holiness in the saints in heaven, the saintly figures here on earth. We know we should understand this in the right way. Holiness does not mean that every member of the Church is holy, as we have terrible scandals and people who do not represent Christ, who call themselves Catholic, Christian here on earth. This is part of the mixed reality of those who are in the spiritual battle, who turn away from the Lord. But it is holy especially because Jesus Christ founded it and gave us holy doctrine, the teachings towards salvation, the best of wisdom, the best of philosophy, to know the way to salvation and holiness, and to live life abundantly in the Lord, to fulfill our human nature as God created it. The Church is Catholic, which means universal. Catholic means universal, so that we can recognize that this is the one and the same Church, is preached throughout the world, and is preached the same way in all the centuries, united together in the ecclesiastical hierarchy of the bishops with the office of Peter. This is some of the marks of Catholicity. You could see this from the very beginning, that the Church was founded with Peter as the head, the apostolic college, and they passed on a succession, so that you can recognize with Peter, who chose an apostle to replace Judas with the college of the apostles. Already they were putting more apostles, which are bishops, in place. And you can see this in the early Church as they went out to ordain other bishops, such as Paul and Barnabas, Timothy, and other who were in the office of Peter after Peter died, right in the Eucharistic prayer, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Clovis. These are the first popes after Peter. Now there was a development over time, taking on some aspects of the papacy, like a monarchy, governance, in a universal way, which wasn't there from the beginning, but doesn't necessarily need to be there in terms of the image of the Pope being involved in politics. But the office of Peter has always been there through the centuries, guiding, governing, and teaching the faith of Christ. And the Church is apostolic, the fourth attribute. That is to say, that the faith is passed on from what was given to us by the apostles, their teaching in Holy Scripture and sacred tradition. The Bible testifies to this. St. Paul, on different occasions, says, "Hold fast to the traditions that have been passed on to you." And he says in 1 Timothy, "When I am gone, listen to the Church, the bulwark and foundation of truth." So these are two wings that have been there from the beginning. The written tradition and the oral tradition, interpreted properly by the office of Peter and the College of the Apostles and the Bishops in continuity. And if you study it, you can recognize that we have the same doctrine now in its essential form as we did 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. This is the mark of the apostolic faith. Now, over time, they went out to preach and proclaim this gospel. They provided the essentials in the scripture, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles, adopting it in certain ways to local cultures, but not changing its form, such as we heard in the Acts of the Apostles today. They preached to the Gentiles that they had to live certain norms to be able to eat with the Jews, not to eat strangled animals, to turn away from idols, not to enter into unlawful marriage or fornication. This last teaching has been continuous teaching of the church. The sacrament of marriage is one and the same from the beginning of the church until today. It hasn't changed. It's not a cultural reality. We can have faith in this because Jesus Christ is God. He transcends culture, transcends time. He can give us definitive teaching about the way to salvation on faith and morals because he is God. And he can pass this through his church and give us an understanding through his offices how to definitively know the way to salvation because Jesus is God. The fundamental reality and understanding. In our time, though, we see temptations to reject this understanding of the church, or to be ignorant, to put it aside. The bad, false ideas that we have running around in our time is that the Catholic Church is just something that is cultural reality passed on because that's what people believed in the past. This is wrong. Or the idea that the church is just something that consoles you, brings you, helps you to feel good. And if it's not consoling, not feeling, helping you to feel good, it's not fulfilling its mission. This is not the fullness of the mission of the church. Or that the church has adopted and changed over time. This is the heresy of modernism, which says even that it should change based on the particular culture and place that it is, change its doctrines, modify it so it's in accord with what we think now. This would render it no longer the Church of Jesus Christ, no longer the Catholic Church. If you see those presenting it, as they have many times in the past, with so many different churches that have broken from the Catholic Church, this is not the church that Jesus Christ founded. As Vatican II said, the church of Jesus Christ is substantially found in the Catholic Church. We can recognize signs of truth, elements leading towards salvation in churches and bodies outside of the Catholic Church, but the substance of it is to be found in the Catholic Church in union with the office of Peter and the Apostolic College passed on through the centuries. Then if someone else were to come and proclaim a new church, even calling themselves Catholic, distorting the doctrines, putting a new gospel, a progressive gospel, as St. Paul said, from an angel of light, a false angel of light, then that would not be the Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church. Or we know in time that the figure we call the Antichrist will come. We don't know exactly when, although we can read some signs. And part of the prophecy that he will come is he will set up a false form of worship, perhaps even a false ecumenical world church, which we are supposed to compromise and fit in all cultures and all religions. This would not be the church of Jesus Christ. It would be contrary to his teaching of salvation. We should reject, renounce such thinking. Instead, we should purify our minds and our intellects to take hold of the means of salvation that has been given to us. Through the Catholic Church, through the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith that has been passed on to us throughout the ages. Study that and know that more deeply. You can pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church to know her teachings, to pray for her leaders, to pray for the purification of the bride of Christ, so that soon it will shine in a glorious way as a true bride here on earth as it does in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.